You can open there to Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to, I sent you a handout that you can use to take notes on what we're going to be discussing today. Mm-hmm. I also sent you some scriptures in multiple languages. So just asking you, memorize that this week. Mm-hmm. Pick your language. You can memorize it in multiple languages if you wish, and just kind of do that this week. It's from the teaching today. For those of you who haven't been with us, we're teaching through the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 18 right now, and so where we are is where we are, and you just sort of landed here. We will today be doing kind of a combo of some discussion and some, I'll talk a little bit, but we'll do a lot of discussion. And so for those of you who are new, we do this actually fairly frequently, for a sermon is not always just me talking. And in a church like this, we can do that. And so what I want to do then is begin with a little bit of review. And we're in Matthew 18, and we're going to be picking up in verse 21. But I want to talk about what's been going on prior to verse 21 in Matthew 18. And one of the things Jesus has been talking about frequently in this chapter is sin. And just to show you, He begins in the beginning of chapter 18, and he's talking about the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is going to be like a little child, just like Josiah there on the screen. Those are the great ones in the kingdom of heaven. You have to humble yourself like a child. That was good timing, by the way, Kanika. And then he says this. He says, whoever receives one such child in my name, this is verse 5, receives me, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, he said it would be better for him to have a great millstone tied around his neck and to be thrown into the depths of the sea. So he's talking about sin. If you cause somebody else to sin, that's not good, Jesus is saying. And then he goes on in verse 7, woe to the world for temptations to sin. It's necessary that they come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. And then he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, take it out, throw it away. You're better off entering the kingdom of heaven without a hand and without an eye than you are entering hell with those things. And so he's saying, if you cause one of these little ones to sin, now he's saying, if something else causes you to sin. And then he goes immediately into this parable of the sheep, and he's got the 99 and the one, and the one has gone astray. And why did he go astray? That's sin. And he's saying the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes after that one who went astray. And then in verse 15, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If that doesn't work, bring in two or three others. If that doesn't work, bring it to the church. If that doesn't work, treat him as a Gentile and a tax collector, Jesus says. And so this is all dealing with sin. And then now this week, we're going to be talking about, Peter's going to come and say, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And so this is all dealing with how are we to respond to sin. This entire chapter is really dealing with that issue. And so what I want to ask then, I've kind of shared a bunch of things with you. Some of you who've been here as we've been teaching, you have heard some of the teaching. Those of you who have not, you still may be familiar with some of these things. But I'm just going to ask a couple of questions. What do you see in all of this about sin? That's a live question, by the way. And you'll have to unmute to answer, because everybody's muted, I see. Anything, just an observation about sin that you have. in any of the things that Jesus has been saying? Because he's saying multiple things.
It has to be dealt with.
Okay, you got to deal with it. Okay, what else?
Deadly.
I'm sorry, say again.
Deadly. It's deadly.
It's deadly. Yeah. What's God's view towards sin?
It's serious.
It's, yeah.
And it's serious between you and other people, like you and your brother, or you and a child. There's responsibility, I think, to and for each other to deal with sin.
Okay. And God's response to sin. Mm-hmm. What is it? Mm-hmm. He actually gives more than one response to sin. What are some of his responses to sin? How does God respond to sin?
Responds to sin has to be, you know, it's being taken seriously. Like, you know, like he gives this metaphor about to cut off sin.
Okay, yeah.
You know, when your hands or foot cause you to sin.
Okay, right? Cut it off, throw it away. You're better off without the sin.
Yeah.
Okay. He, on the one hand, you should see some judgment. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it is better for him to have a great millstone tied around his neck and to be thrown into the depths of the sea. There's a judgment there. And yet, at the same time, if one of the sheep goes astray, the shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes after them. And there's a compassion toward sin, toward the sinner, I guess I should say. And then today we're going to be looking at forgiveness. I mean, Peter's going to be saying, how many times should I forgive my brother? And, you know, and Jesus is going to talk about forgiveness. And we've got this weird, you know, as a Christian, we see God this way. We see God as being, he doesn't compromise. Sin is serious business, and he does judge it, and yet he forgives it. And both of those things are true at the same time. In fact, they're both true in this very chapter. Not only are they both true in this very chapter, but they're both true side by side. Last week, we looked at church discipline towards sin. This week, we're going to look at forgiveness, and look at what's going to happen. In verse 15, if your brother sins against you, church discipline. And now verse 21. Then Peter came and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me? And now we're going to talk about forgiveness for the same thing. Your brother sins against you. And so there's church discipline and there's forgiveness. And we need to hold both of those things up and not have forgiveness squash out the discipline or have the discipline squash out the forgiveness. Sometimes Christians do this. We take one truth and squash out the other truths, and it's not biblical. We want to hold them both up. They're both legitimate. Okay, so let's read what we're going to deal with today. We're going to finish Matthew chapter 18 today. Could someone read for me verses 21 through 35?
Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have mercy with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my Father, my Heavenly Father, will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Okay. So let's look at, really this is a command and a story. Jesus tells a parable. And you've got on that handout the command, verses 21 and 22. So let's look at just those two verses, 21 and 22. This continues the discussion on sin that has been going on all throughout chapter 18. And what does Peter ask?
How many times I should forgive my brother if he sins against me?
Okay. And what does Jesus say?
70 times 7 times.
Okay. Yeah, not 7 times, but 77 times. What does that answer mean? So someone's... I'm sorry, say it again.
Almost unlimited time.
Yeah. Yeah, the idea is you keep forgiving. You don't, if he comes, you forgive him. That's the idea. Okay. That's the command. And that really is a command. Jesus says, "I don't say to you 7 times, 77 times." And then he tells a story. And the story deals with forgiveness. And so here's what I want you to do on that handout that you have where it says the story. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes. All I want you to do is write down observations you see about the story. And so just a couple minutes, do that.
I think the king had justice. It was just that he should approach this servant and, you know, require his money back.
Okay. The fact that the servant owed the king 10,000 talents was just. It was just for the king to require it. He did owe the debt. Okay, Kanika, what's one thing you wrote?
Compassion.
Compassion on the part of the king? Okay.
Yes.
How about Russ or Ann? What's one thing you wrote down? You're muted.
They may be gone with their family.
Oh, they could be. How about David? What's one thing you wrote down?
I wrote, "God forgives when we forgive."
Okay.
It is unfair to be forgiven and not to forgive.
Okay. Good. Sarah? Something you wrote down? You're muted, Sarah. Okay. What is the purpose of this story?
Illustration.
To illustrate what?
wilderness. That was the answer.
That's right.
For Peter's question.
That's right. Peter asked a question. Jesus gave an answer. And then he tells a story to illustrate what he's talking about. And so in verse 23, look at verse 23. The first word is therefore. And therefore, what? What's Jesus talking about?
Forgiving others.
Forgiving others, yes. But he says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to this story, right? So the kingdom of heaven is compared to this story. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven here. He is talking about forgiveness, but he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is compared to this story of forgiveness. And so this is a story about the kingdom of heaven. And then he tells the story. Now, a couple of facts that help you with the story. Verse 24, 10,000 talents. And today we read that and it's like, yeah, what's that? That is an enormous amount of money. That might be the equivalent to more than $1 billion today, if you want to put it in modern terms. And then the other servant owes the servant 100 denarii, which a denarii is, 1 denarii is a day's wage for a common laborer. So think of a minimum wage worker who works for a day, that's about a denarii. So 100 denarii is what, $6,000 to $10,000, something like that, is what the guy owes him. So he's been forgiven more than $1 billion, and here comes somebody who owes him $6,000 to $10,000. And that's the, Jesus's listeners, that's how they would have heard it. Now, the story's pretty straightforward, actually. Other than explaining the talents and the money, I don't think there's a whole lot I need to explain to you. I think you actually understand what Jesus is saying. And so you don't need me to tell you what it's saying, so you tell me, what is it saying?
I guess as a king, you know, as somebody, as a king has like who has that high authority, even forgave those who owe him. So a person should, you know, not a king or anyone basically, should forgive others as well.
Okay.
If he owes anything.
Yeah.
Your compassion and grace, I guess.
Okay. Kanika, what were you going to say? Or the same thing?
No, I was saying that I see myself as the man who owed God so much.
Okay.
And he forgave all my sins.
Yes.
That are immeasurable, uncountable. Mm-hmm. And again, if I have my brothers or even my friends and they do something wrong to me, I hold grudge against them.
Yeah.
And that's what happened the second thing. So the Lord is just clearly just showing your heart.
Yeah.
What you are and what you're supposed to do. So I see it for myself right now. And in fact, as I'm reading it, the last verse has really hit me really strong. Unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
Yeah.
From your heart.
Yeah, it's got to be real.
Yes, and so many times maybe I would have rested, but it has to be from the heart. Otherwise, God would not forgive you. So, yeah.
Okay. In the story, who does the king represent?
Jesus.
Okay. Jesus or God or the Father. He kind of ties it to the Father in verse 35, right?
Yeah.
The king to the Father. And the servant with the 10,000 talent debt, who does that represent?
Me.
Me.
Humankind.
Yeah, that represents me.
Yeah, me.
And who does the servant with the 100 denarii debt represent?
A fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, or maybe not in Christ. Gentiles? Mm-hmm. No. All the same Gentiles. I say other brothers and sisters in Christ.
Okay. Someone who has done what? Someone who's done wrong to you in some way. So the king is God, the servant with the 10,000 talent debt is you and me, and the servant with the little debt, that's somebody who's done something to us. And then he tells that story. And so the point of the story, you all know, you've already told it to me, it's forgive. That's the point of the story. Why? Why forgive?
Because God forgave us first.
Yeah. That's actually in the story, right? God expected, the king expected that servant to forgive the fellow servant who owed him a little bit because he had forgiven him so much. And so and the point of this story, in terms of why, that's the why. You have been forgiven so much, more than you can imagine. And you won't forgive this little thing that your brother has done to you? And if you don't forgive, in the story, what's the result? What's that?
I think he's talking to you.
So if you don't forgive, what is the result?
You will not be forgiven.
You will not be forgiven. Mm-hmm. It's not a pretty result. If you look at verse 34, it says, and in anger his master delivered him to the translation, my translation says jailers. The literal word there is torturers. Oh. It's actually more severe than jailers. The word that is used is torturers. And until he would pay off the debt. But the fact is, this man is never going to pay off that debt. And so the picture is a picture of eternal torture, eternal torment. It's really a picture of hell. And if you look at verses 32 and 3, here's what it says. It says, then his master summoned him. This is after the king discovered that the guy he forgave would not forgive this little bit. And so he discovered that. It says, then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? The master calls his servant wicked. You wicked servant. I think we need to understand, if we do not forgive, to God, that's wicked. It's not just a neutral thing. It's an evil thing from God's perspective. Sometimes we like to justify our bitterness and hold on to it. And we won't forgive, and we think we're just. And we say, oh, yeah, well, you should have seen what he did. And, you know, I'm sure he did. No arguments. I'm not arguing that he was in the right or any such thing. But we hold on to it. God says, that is wickedness. You wicked servant, he says. If you belong to Jesus, God wants you to forgive from the heart. Now, this business of forgiveness is really kingdom life. See, let's go back to verse 23 again. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like this story. What this means is if you belong to the kingdom of God, Jesus changes you. He makes you more forgiving. He expects forgiveness from his people. This is kingdom life. It's forgiveness. It's one of the characteristics of being in the kingdom. And why are kingdom people, Jesus' people, willing to forgive? It's because they see something of how much they have been forgiven. That when you see your own need, it makes you more compassionate to people in need. And when you see how much you've been forgiven, it makes you more willing to forgive somebody else. Because you've been on the receiving end of the forgiveness. Kingdom people see how great their sin is, or they see something of it anyway. We may not fully understand how great our sin is. It's probably much greater than we see. But we at least acknowledge it's great. And that helps you show mercy to people when they sin against you. And this business of forgiveness is necessary for kingdom life. That's what this parable is about. Now, when I say all this, the idea is not forgiveness is a work that leads us to heaven. That's not what Jesus is teaching. The idea is more like this. Forgiveness is a fruit of heaven in you. You come to Christ by faith, and he changes you. And forgiveness is one of the areas in which he changes you. And so it's why he can tie forgiveness and the kingdom of God together, because they are together. If you're in the kingdom of God is going to start working in your heart. And as it works in your heart, forgiveness is one of those areas it's going to work on. Now, when I say all this stuff, I'm not saying forgiveness is easy. It is not easy. I'm not saying Christians will never, ever struggle with forgiving somebody. Because forgiveness involves real pain. There's hurt. If you think about what the nature of forgiveness is, you don't really have to forgive somebody who didn't do anything wrong to you. The only people you need to forgive are the people who have hurt you. They're the people that you need to forgive. And so we're automatically talking about pain when we're talking about forgiveness. And it involves real pain, and it can be a difficult thing to do. And so for example, my parents are divorced, and it was very painful. And I had a lot of anger against my dad, especially, in all of what happened. And God kept saying to me, you have to forgive him. And I kept holding on to my pain and my bitterness. I didn't just automatically do it and say, oh yeah, well. And so I understand this can be a really hard thing. But God would not let it go. He kept coming back to that issue. It just kept coming up to me. And eventually I had to go and get together with my dad and offer him forgiveness and actually even seek his forgiveness for some things I had said and things I had done in the relationship. And it wasn't an easy thing to do. We have some friends in which the husband was involved in some sexual sin, and it was painful. And they had to work through a lot of difficult issues in their marriage. It wasn't just an easy thing. Forgiveness is not always a snap your fingers and we're done kind of thing. But in the end, the wife forgave him. And it wasn't an easy thing. And so when we talk about forgiveness, what I don't want to do is give you this impression that forgiveness is simplistic and that it's, oh, great, no problem, go your way, and because it can actually be a very painful thing to do. And you may struggle with it. And if you do, that may be pretty normal. And you may have to go through a process before you actually fully, really do forgive whoever it is that did whatever to you. And you will not do it without God's help. That's why it's part of the kingdom life. You need the kingdom in you to do it. You need Christ in you to do that, to do the forgiving that Christ wants you to be doing. But while all of this is true, it's right. Forgiveness is right. It's the way of the kingdom. It's the way God wants you to go, even if it's hard. In fact, not only is it the way of the kingdom, but it is how you entered the kingdom in the first place. Without forgiveness, you and I would be hopeless. And so you've seen those, maybe you've seen those billboards on the highway, you know, they say something like, courage, pass it on. Or patience, pass it on. Or, you know, whatever. You've seen them. They have some character trait, and then they say, pass it on. And in this story, really, Jesus is saying, forgiveness. Pass it on. Because you received it. And he wants you then to pass it on. He's, pass on what you've received. And so what helps in offering forgiveness is to see our 10,000 talent debt to God. And so here's what I want to do. This is how we're going to kind of close. In Christ, every sin you have ever done in your entire life is forgiven through the cross and through the blood. Every sin. And so what I want to ask you to do for the next couple of minutes is to think of, I'm going to ask you to think on what you've been forgiven. And on that sheet that you have, there's applying the story. I want you to write down how you've sinned against God and how what he has forgiven you of. Just start writing stuff. I'm not going to ask you to share it. You're not going to, this is just for you. It's just between you and God. And just keep writing. It could be sins from this morning. It could be sins from yesterday. It could be sins from 20 years ago. And if you want help thinking through where you will find your sins, start thinking of people in your life, like your husband or your wife, your mom or your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your children. Just think of those names, people close to you. And there are ways in which you have sinned against every one of them. And you probably, once you think of the name, can come up with some ways you've sinned against, you know, such and such person. And so I'm going to give you a few minutes just to do that. So go. Just write down what sins you can think of. Whatever you think of has been forgiven. But just start writing them down. Yeah. Okay. You could probably keep writing. The purpose of this isn't to go on and, you know, but I bet I wrote down about 20 things in the span of the couple minutes we've got here. Here's what I want you to do now. I want you to take your pen, and God has forgiven you of whatever you just wrote down has been forgiven. And so in Christ, what I want you to do is take your pen and just cross right through everything you just written. Just cross through it, because it's gone. Now, that's what God has done for you. Whatever you wrote down is gone, and God did that. Now, what I want you to do in that same section where it says applying the story is write down the name of one person who has wronged you and who needs your forgiveness. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take some time just right now to pray on your own. If you want to mute and pray aloud in your room, feel free. But I want you to pray for God's grace to forgive that person whose name you just wrote down. Because this is kingdom life, guys. God has forgiven you everything you just scratched out. Can you forgive that person for whatever it is? Ask for his help. And so just take a minute or two and just pray for that.